What's happening? We're Red Frazier Incorporated.
Broadcasting live from Ink Studios, it is the Enter the Shell Show, and I'm joined by Rhett Frazier and Donnie Ink. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Welcome to the show, and if I could just say thank you so much for having me come into your studio. I will say this, the moment I walked in and I saw Rhett, it was odd. It was kind of like me and you are wearing the same thing. Like me and you chose the same dope fly. Not necessarily the same... Right, we got the
jacket. Yeah, no, thanks for doing that.
I know. I kind of felt like we're either going to Sadie Hawkins or something like that.
I wish I had that Daptone shirt. I'll trade you.
Right, it's a cool Daptone shirt,
yeah,
right?
It is. It's badass. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it when I saw Sharon Jones. She was here like I want to say like 2 years ago, and I went to go watch her play, and it was dude. Have you ever been to a Sharon Jones?
I'm a big fan, but I haven't seen a show. No, she's a hard worker.
Yeah, you got to see her live. She's like Dude, the amount of sweat that she pours out onto the stage is, like, ridiculous. And I want to say that you guys are kind of in that same vein of her, of just, like, really cool, like, funky music that I really just admire and stuff like that. Have you guys thought about incorporating some sort of, like, horn section or anything like that?
We think about it all the time. You know, we... The thing about Ink is we got into this method of making music to where we found that sometimes what's streamlined is better, what's more economical and what's streamlined. We're a big fan of the horn bands of the 70s, but we're not trying to expropriate that or to be revivalist to the degree to where we go, you know, we need that section, the Phoenix horns or the Memphis horns or whatever it is. So there'll be a time and a place. Yeah. But it, I mean, it's a great question because we definitely come from that. But there's an economy to I think, the way that we've been producing and recording that we want to have that space. Space is almost like another member of the band.
Besides Kenny and Bobby, who are your drummer? I mean, I'm sorry, your guitarist and your bass, right?
Kenny Etchison's right here. Yeah.
How's it going, man?
How's it going?
So how did you guys all get involved? Is there like some crazy story or something like that?
Man, for Rhett and I getting involved, we had been playing together for 10 years, something like that.
I think we're 10, yeah.
We started playing at this club in Hermosa Beach called Cafe Boogaloo, and we both got hired as sidemen with Denny Freeman, who's a great blues and jazz guitar player, and we were like the young guys in the band at that time. And so, you know, they were kind of old school, and we'd kind of look at each other and go, I like funky music. Do you like funky music? And we're like, yeah, let's play some funky music. Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, it's a dun, 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 dun. We're like, that's cool. Let's go play some funky music. And so then Rhett and I would get together on off nights and just start writing tunes and just working on stuff. And we started demoing tunes at another studio called Pacifica down in Culver City area. And it was sort of a side project for us for a long time. Just, hey, let's write a couple tunes. We'll go play our gigs. We'll go out on the road. We'll do that. And then we kept coming back to this. And once we had 10 tunes, we released our first record a few years ago, 09, I think, 09 or 010, Escape from Detroit. And then from there, we just kept writing. And now, you know, we've got like 25 tunes and we have a band, you know, and we're playing clubs and trying to make it happen. And we're still putting up with each other. It's like a funk marriage.
Tell me about these funk marriages. I'm sure a lot of debauchery, a lot of cheating, but at the very end you always wind up saying I love you, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of bullet bourbon. There's a lot of late nights, airplane bottles of scotch. You know, lots of late night sessions with bare almost fist fights to get that one part down, but then we get the part down and we hug again and we make up. It's, you know, so very much.
Is that almost a reoccurring theme that you guys kind of make as far as part of your process, that it's not right until you guys actually like start fighting?
No, I think it's not right until we both sign off on it. Like, we may have a couple jabs here or there, so like Rhett will dig on me. I mean, the whole nickname Ink is a dig, by the way. It's not a compliment. Well, I'll let Rhett tell you that in a second. But
Ink is really cool, though. That's a really cool name. I don't know.
To be cool. It turned out to be cool, but it turned out because I'd be like, let's put a hook to this song. And Rhett's like, this is my muse. I love this. This is my lyric, you know. And like, no, let's put a big hook on this one song. And, you know, long story short, oh yeah, Mr. Commercial, yeah, Ink, you should be incorporated, you know. And it was like you know, but until we, in terms of writing, until we both sign off on it, until we're both 100% comfortable, it doesn't come out. Because if I may like something, but if he's like, I'm the one that's got to go sing that, I got to go out front and sell that to the crowd, then, you know, he'll get the say on that. Or conversely, if I'm like, hey, the keyboard part's not happening, or the drum, the groove, the rhythm section's not locking, then, you know, we'll go back and do it again.
Let's talk about your guys' latest endeavor, which is Every Day is Saturday. I got to listen to it, really enjoyed it. And here's the thing, the name alone is amazing, because, you know, I wish every day was like my Saturday. Unfortunately, Saturdays I tend to work a lot, so the only good thing is I would be working a lot. But what is like Every Day is like Saturday for you? Does that mean like every day is kind of like a vacation type thing?
No, I mean, the thing is, hard work, if you're doing what you love, it's not work. I mean, that's really the theme of the song, you know. And I guess the question that it asks is, you know, did you do what you said you were going to do when you were a little kid? You know, did you grow up to be what you wanted to be? I mean, so it references kind of those things, you know, and it's just sort of asks the question, you know, because for me and Donnie, you know, we're living that. You know, so we want to challenge other people to do the same. Like, if you're not happy with doing what you're doing, then why are you doing it? It's not necessarily that every day is a vacation or that we're trying to get out of anything. It's just, you know, the world, like it says in the song, you try to strike your bargains, you know, with the world, and they'll bribe you with your life and then tell you that you're paid really well, you know, and it's not true unless you're doing what you love. So to me, you know, hard work and love and passion is what it's all about. So, you know, and, you know, there's stuff like ex-girlfriends and stuff like that in the song too, you know, and, you know, people that think making money is, you know, the end all be all, you know. So it asks a bunch of those questions, but, you know, in a playful way, you know, in a way that we can kind of embrace and, you know, people can dance to and then take home and go, well, that fucker was messing with us. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute, you know, like all good music does, it asks a question, you know, from jazz to funk to soul to R&B, you know, to whatever, to honky tonk, you know.
I'm so lucky that I didn't become what I was aspiring to be when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be an ambulance driver, only so I could pass the red lights. That was like my only thing.
You carve us off if that bullet comes out. So, you know, you may get to do that. You know, depends on how much we drink later.
I'm
endorsement.
Yeah, full endorsement. I'm totally down for that.
We need you to drive the ambulance.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. This album also, it really seemed like you guys really had like a lot of creative freedom. Is that because you guys do own your own kind of recording studio and you are able to kind of experience whatever you want? Because having creative freedom, like I've always said, is a gift and a curse. It's a gift because you can do whatever you want, but that's the curse, is when you can do whatever you want. And I've always said that limitations breed creativity. That's what's going to, you know, make you go out and do the next thing.
I think we did have creative freedom. We didn't have to pay for studio time. We weren't really on anybody's clock. And so Rhett and I sat down after we did our last record, and we kind of, what did we want to accomplish? And one of the things we really wanted to do is we wanted to play with Bobby, you know, have Bobby on bass. We wanted to include him and kind of play the things that we all played together in the last 10 years, and but like our own way, like if we were our own band leaders, because Bobby and I did like a bunch of pickup gigs together for years. And wouldn't it be great if we could, and then like insert vibe here, you know? So then when Rhett and I spoke, we're like, well, okay, Bobby, you know, Kurt Fletcher, Kenny Esnan, you know, like, let's get these guys in a room and just groove, you know? And then we would make these great grooves that like only, you know, Kenny and Bobby and Kirk and Bobby and like we can make together. And then when they leave, we kind of go, what should we do now? You know, and that's when all the crazy synth parts come out and like we get, you know, we kind of get freaky with it.
It's a curse. It is a curse unless you have your own voice, you know, and we struggled with that for a while. I mean, you know, I was a hired gun kind of soul singer kind of guy, and, you know, Donnie, you know, drummers do what they got to do to make a living. So till you really find your own, you know, what your bag is, like, not what, you know, not trying to sound like somebody else or going, I think that's cool or this kind of music is cool. When you finally kind of relax into it, you know, it's what every day of Saturday is about. Like, you relax into it and you go, hey, you know, this feels good. This is my skin. You know, this is cool. But, you know, if you don't have that sort of certainty, you can go off the rails. I mean, you know, you make the Heaven's Gate of albums, you know, where nobody understands what's the hell you're trying to do, you know, so.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what, let's hear more of your music, and we are going to hear Secret Pieces, and we're going to have more with my guests, all that coming up next, right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Somebody's calling your name, and they know just where to find you. Somebody's calling your name, and they know just where to find you. Well, the world's in open space, your heart ain't no hiding place when somebody's calling your name. Somebody's breaking you down, Somebody's breaking you down into all your secret pieces. All the parts that you arranged, where they scatter when you hear that name. Don't you know that they're breaking you down? They're breaking you down, yeah. Somebody's calling you home. Well, yes, they are, but they won't take a no for an answer. Is that your mother next to your grave? In that red earth from which you were made? Nobody ever leaves home. Nobody ever leaves. Nobody ever leaves home. Nobody ever leaves. Nobody ever leaves home.
RhettFraserInc.com is where you can find him at. It's just a regular day in the park for you guys, right?
It's starting to feel that way, yeah. Yeah, making music, man. Yeah, we love playing together. I mean, I hope it shows. I mean, even in the studio, we just love it. You know what I mean? We get into it. We get in our own little world and want to bring everybody with us, so.
Yeah, I was going to say that song, it was very interesting just because it started off with a very different time signature for kind of everything, and then it just kind of worked its way into a song, if that makes sense. I don't know. Well, do you kind of look at everything, and then you look at like all the time signatures and kind of develop it kind of like that? Because it's very weird to just always start off with, okay, guys, we're all going to start off out of tempo, you know?
Yeah, we kind of, the way Rhett and I do it is kind of like, okay, with our heroes, like what kind of record we want to make, and it's more of like a reference. So like if, you know, Steely Dan got in a fist fight with Bobby Blue Bland, what would that make? And that would make like that
Steely Dan being dope.
Yeah, exactly. So if Steely Dan got in a, you know, a street fight with Bobby Blue Bland, what would that turn out to be? And that's sort of that. So it starts off like really, you know, 6/8, 12/8, polished, nice and polite, and then by the end, you know, it's like you know, so that's kind of where we're coming from with that. But I don't think it's as mathematical about going, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. It more starts with an aesthetic, you know, kind of like an idea of something, you know, like that way, like old Bobby Blue Band tunes like Wishing Well or whatever, you know, you kind of mix that with, God, now I'm escaping my Steely Dan references, but, you know, Home at Last, where it's like the vocals are real pretty and real precise, you know, which Rhett does all the all the backgrounds, all the layering, all that stuff that's really pretty, but then behind it is like this this grit of like an old blues tune.
Yeah. Well, music is such this you know, melting pot, because everybody's bringing in all their kind of differences together to kind of make your sound. And one of the things that I think really defines your sound, or I should say defines it, is Rhett's voice. I really enjoy your vocal, and I just want to know about, you know, you kind of creating that. Was that always there, or did it just, you know, were you and Ink just together and he's like, no, you kind of got to do it like this, or how did your vocal style kind of happen?
I mean, the best way to explain it is sort of to explain where I'm from.
Are you from SA?
Oklahoma. Yeah. So everybody's kind of confused there. They don't know whether they're the South or the West. They're not Kansas. They're certainly not Texas. They're not Ark. So you'll have a black guy that sounds like Charlie Pride, or you have a white guy that's a great jazz singer or whatever. But all those things, it's sort of a crossroads for those things. So, you know, so for me, there's always going to be a little bit of country and a little bit of grit and grease. And Donnie, you know, being the sort of mentor to me for becoming a songwriter, you know, we're fortunate enough to where we can bring that out and match that to what the song is. And then, you know, with Bobby and Kenny, you like Donnie says, you have this aesthetic, and then you have this freedom to kind of just be yourself and whatever that song needs, whatever that lyric needs at the moment. But it's just, you know, you get confused, and then after a while you're like, fuck it, this is me. I don't know what else to do. So
do you go back home frequently?
I was just there last week, as a matter of fact. It'd been too long. I mean, every once in a while you have to go, you know, touch the ground and, you know, go splash around in the water and eat some barbecue and do that sort of thing. But in L.A., you know, there's this big artery because of, you know, World War II and all the people that moved from Houston to work in all the aircraft factories and all that stuff. There's a strong connection to Oklahoma, Texas that sort of runs through L.A., the whole Central Avenue scene and all that. So I'm into the history and lore of it, and I'll talk people to death with it. So after a while, I just kind of shut up and just go, yeah, well, you know, whatever. But it's there bubbling under the surface. And like with Kenny's right hand, or Bobby, I call him Mr. Bottom. You know, that's my nickname for him. Like, it, yeah, Babao, man. I mean, it's just right there. So all that stuff that's simmering in L.A. that different people express in different ways. Like Los Lobos expresses it. They're the best blues band I've ever heard in my life. But they express it in a certain way. It bubbles up some way, or Oza Motley or whatever. It comes out. But all those things are in that gumbo or whatever, like, you know, somebody from Louisiana would say. So hopefully, you know, it just bubbles up, and it, you know, bubbles up in a unique way for Rhett Frazier, Inc.
Can you tell me what the scene is like for you guys, as far as is there a circuit for this kind of music, or what?
You know, we're finding that, I mean, just to kind of go back to the last question, Donnie's from Detroit. I'm from Oklahoma. What we found was, when we first started out, we were too blues for the rock bands, and then we were too soulful for the blues bands, and then we were too country for the R&B bands, and then we were too jazzy for the funk bands. And so what we found is, like, you know, now there's an appetite for it because, you know, there's an authenticity. So yeah, you know, we play a lot in the Little Temple Bar family. We, you know, we're playing the Mint, you know, which typically has organic sort of funky stuff, and they draw from like those traditions and stuff. So I think we're finding our audience. You know, we're going to New York in just a few weeks. You know, so if you just, you know, if you're too stupid to change, eventually, you know, people will swing around to you. So, well, yeah, it's pretty fun.
I think New York is going to eat you up, as far as like in a good way. You know, like I really think
it's
that
my lunch a few times. I'm ready for it to eat me up. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd like to go back where it eats me up rather than kicks my ass. But, you know, we'll get there.
I guess for you guys, you really feel that there is no pressure, right, to kind of blend in with all the other crowds, or do you feel that there is a pressure so you can go on tour with other bands?
I think when the other bands that we've been fortunate enough to play with, you know, I mean, musicians like to hang around with musicians. I mean, that's how we met Kenny and Bobby. I mean, if you meet the funkiest dude in town, you're going to want to play with him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Donnie, I was like, yeah, I can play with this motherfucker. Let's do it, you know? So, and LA is, I mean, even though people are touring or whatever, you know, for me, you know, when I moved here, I was like, I'm going to get, you know, you get to play with the best people in the world. So, you know, that to me, that's the easy part.
What's the hard part?
Just fucking doing it. Yeah. Getting up in the morning, you know? Staying out late's not hard. Getting up in the morning's hard, you know? The gig's fine. It's that session the next day that sucks, you know?
I love it. I'll tell you what, let's get into another session. And then afterwards, I am going to put you guys in the celebrity corner after we hear the song What the Hell. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All that coming up next right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Well, I'm back up in this corner. Bringing thoughts that you don't feel. And it's only fair to warn you. I got narcissistic tendencies. Well, now everybody's laughing. Cause they just can't believe my charms. And I'm not quite sure what happened. A drink at this bar. Did I say something wrong to you, baby? What the hell is wrong with you? Everybody likes me but you. What the hell is wrong with you? Everybody likes me but you. Everybody likes me but you. Now wait a minute, lady. I'm not feeling you feeling me. Gotta take a bit degrading. I did it, Kenny. So don't call this a travesty. Can I please put your tab on me? What the hell is wrong with you?
Now time to get into the celebrity corner, and real quick question, I'm interested to know whether or not you feel you're a role model.
To whom?
Interesting. Yeah.
My role model.
I'll go with yes. I'll say yes. Do I have to give a reason now?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a tough one. That was not what I expected. I would say, just to give, you know, like, younger people, like, kind of the background of they can do what they want to do versus what their parents tell them they have to do. I didn't do anything my parents told me to do.
Yeah, look how good you came out.
Exactly. My wife calls it luck. I'd prefer to think of it as, like, well-planned luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I mean, you guys have to start looking at this because once you guys start growing and your fan base, you know, surpasses a gajillion people, as it should, you know, a lot of people are going to be looking at you guys and, you know, every aspect that you do is going to be scrutinized.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I ever feel like I'm a role model or that I've reached something, then I'm not trying hard enough. You know, to me, the pressure's always on. There's always something you can prove upon, or there's always something you can learn. I mean, to me, you know, I'm still learning freaking, you know, chord voicings and inversions and stuff like that. So, but I mean, that's, you know, it's that drive that hopefully draws people to us, and, you know, Donnie's work ethic and, you know, what we're trying to get across, you know, content wise. I mean, you know, it's rewarding that, you know, that it's starting to, you know, accumulate and snowball, and, you know, the people are picking up on it. But doesn't mean that you get to relax, that's for sure.
Exactly. Somebody that's not relaxing, Mark Zuckerberg, owner of Facebook, he just bought Instagram for $1 billion. Is that crazy?
Yeah, that guy. I just think about that movie where all he wants to do is sit at the table drinking wine. Remember in the movie? And they're drinking wine and they're having a good time, and he realizes he's not that guy. Like, he can't really sit down and have a conversation. So, I mean, he could make $80 billion, and I'd still feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him now. He can't go to a dinner party and talk to somebody and have somebody go, hey, man, I really like that guy. It's like he's always going to be the most uncomfortable dude in the room. So, I mean, how much money is that worth? I mean, can't pay me to do that.
You can pay me. I'm if you got $1 billion to throw around. But I just find that that Instagram, you know, just kind of came out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden it's like boom, you know, they're about to show up Facebook, and they're like, "Oh, we're just going to do something cooler and we're just going to buy you out." So I thought that was rather interesting. Moving right along, are you guys fans of Dumb and Dumber? I'm going to go with you.
I have to say no on that one.
Why is that? Was that just not the movie for you?
It's pretty dumb.
Well, get ready. They're about to do a sequel.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll do the music for that. How about Dumb and Dumber, : Every Day is Saturday?
Yeah, it could work. It really could work. I remember Delamitri was part of that soundtrack. That was a really kind of good soundtrack. Oh, who else was in that soundtrack? I'm probably going to get like a gajillion emails. Email me, turtle@entertheshell.com. I'm sure I'm going to get a bunch. But this time, Dumb and Dumber is actually... Because I know a lot right now, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, what happened to the prequel? That wasn't really Dumb and Dumber, because it didn't have Jim Carrey, and it didn't have... who's the other guy? It was Jim Carrey and...
Jeff Daniels. Detroit.
Because I remember Jeff Daniels. He was in... He's been in so many other movies too, and I always say, "Oh, that's the guy from Dumber and Dumber." I'm like, "Why were you in there?"
Wild, and yeah. He's been in some decent.
Yeah, he was in. He played the guy in, was it not Point Break? It was a Keanu Reeves movie, Speed. He played the partner that gets his leg broken. I remember that.
Blowed off.
Yeah. And this was the thing about that movie that I didn't like.
I'm like, what
was that at the end of the movie, he's like, supposedly his leg is all messed up, but yet he's running, jumping through a window when Dennis Hopper blows him up. You know, and I was just like, that's bullshit.
Dumb.
Yeah, it's totally dumb. Oh, man. Moving right along. Paul McCartney. You guys know the guy, right? He's a nice guy.
I heard of him.
Right? He's just said... that his son is actually thinking about regrouping with all the brothers or all the sons or all the siblings of the Beatles, and they want to make kind of the next generation Beatles. I'm interested on your thoughts about that. Is this really the Beatles?
No. I don't think you can recreate the Beatles. I mean, you know, if you look at them historically, they're, you know, the best songwriters the last 100, 150 years. That's not going to happen again for a long, long time, children or no children.
Well, I mean, how do you get somebody to play 365 nights a year at a club and, like, three shows a day? Like,
well, there you go.
I mean, you know what I mean? So if they do that, then, yeah, I might buy a ticket, you know, and see what happens after
really?
That. But, I mean, it's just the Beatles' work ethic, you know. I mean, it was just they just wanted it more than anybody else. You know what I mean? I mean, the Stones would knife somebody for it, but, you know, the Beatles would work harder than everybody, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, maybe there's some talent there that hasn't been exploited, but I'm open.
Yeah, I don't know about this. You know, repackaging the Beatles and kind of giving that whole next generation tag to me just seems too marketed, too easy, you know, and I don't think I would be willing to kind of throw my money into that. You know, why am I going to go waste my money to see DNA of some, like, legend, you know? I could surely see that off of some sort of magazine or something.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What if it was like Paul McCartney's steel cage match against Robert Plant? Would you go pay a ticket to see that? Like, who would win that?
I wouldn't pay to see that because I'd see it on pay-per-view because, because the lines, you know, for the bathroom and the concessions would be ridiculous because everybody would be there. No?
Yeah.
And that's my thing. Like, I don't like going to any place that's going to be like too jam-packed.
$8 beers and this.
Exactly.
$9 hot dogs and shit. Fuck that.
I think Robert Plant would win because Paul McCartney looks ticklish.
he does look ticklish. Right? You're right. Yeah, I never thought of that.
Ticklish. Yeah.
Nobody ever called Paul McCartney a golden god. You know what I mean? They called him the cute one. You know, they didn't call him a golden god. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that answers your question. Now, if you took stem cells from those dudes and grew them in a lab, then maybe you could recreate the Beatles.
Yeah, but I don't think you could recreate kind of, because remember, like when you're born, and this is just me, when you're born, you're a product of your environment, you know, and you would have to try to take them through those same exact.
I heard that nature and nurture stuff in your question. Yeah, you're trying to ask us. We never do anything easy, so fuck. They can't get us to compromise, you know, if they tried. So we're not the right people to answer that.
Cool. It's now time to see if you guys can guess who this week's artist of the week is. What I'm going to do is I am going to give you guys some clues, and let's see if you guys can guess who this week's artist of the week is. Okay, so here are your clues. Here's your first clue. This band is from Sweden. They have an album out in June. This band is known for their kicks, riffs, and good times, and they're the first imposed their black and white vision in the late 1990s. So I'll give you a little bit more
Rock
of a set. No, not Roxette.
Can I have a lifeline?
No.
Shit. Is it the sons and daughters of ABBA?
You are right. Oh my! No, I'm just kidding. Daddy was like, "Oh my god, yeah! You did it!" Oh no, sorry. Tune in on Friday and check who we picked. Who the artist of the week is. It's now time for shoutouts, guys. Do you have any shoutouts that you guys would like to give out?
Sure. Yeah, the Mint. Joe's Pub. Who else we want to thank? He's got some people he wants to thank.
Let's thank Peisty America, Vic Firth, Remo.
Friends, family, turtleandenterthesshell.com.
Bobby and Kenny.
Yeah, no, I mean everybody that's made this whole thing possible, you know, like from riders to, you know, mountain ranges to, you know, particular bourbon-based spirits to, you know,
I got one that's going to take it down. Little airplane bottles of scotch.
Little airplane bottle of scotch that cost $10 that you can buy the store for $3.
We don't have time for the entire story, but let's just say that...
Somebody gifted us that and we recorded, let's say, a couple of songs on the record.
With 36 airplane bottles of scotch.
Wow.
Swear to God.
So we do want to thank whoever makes those things. And the airline that they were stolen from.
Thank you, airline.
Yeah, right on.
I love it. Well, guys, as you can see, I brought out the Demoralizer 3000 all the way from NoHo 2 Studio. And we're going to find out the moral of the show. But first, I got some more shout-outs. Do you guys have smartphones?
Mine's pretty stupid, actually, yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of a Luddite.
Yes.
Do you have Stitcher on it?
No.
Then it's not smart enough. So what you guys need to do is log on to Stitcher.com because Enter the Shell is now streaming on smartphones. And what we've done is taking all that buffering time out of your phone. I don't know if you guys are big streamers on your phone or anything like that, but you can stream the entire podcast network. So feel free.
Stitcher.com?
Yeah, Stitcher.com. And then just when you download it, just, you know, type in Enter the Shell, and the Enter the Shell podcast network will appear. Oh. And you can, dude, we have tons of programming that I'm so proud of, and that.
Yeah, it's like tons of content up there. I mean, it's just like, you know, any kind of music you want to get into.
Is there anything with like, Fraser Inc.? Is there anything there on there?
There will be after today.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What about Roxette?
Yeah, no, not Roxette, not yet. Well, one day.
We don't sound like that.
But I do want to give another shout out to your guys' studios. Thank you so much for inviting me down to do this really cool show.
Thanks for wanting to do this, man. We've been excited about it for a while, so we're glad we made it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Is his name Theseus? Did I get that right?
Theseus Montgomery.
Yeah, he's a guy that emailed me and let me know about you guys. And that's all it takes, people. Like, I tell people, hey, man, you know, there's only so much that I can do. There's only so much music that I can find. I need your help to find cool bands like Rhett Fraser Inc. You know, so if you know any bands or if you're in a band and you're pretty cool, email me, turtle@entertheshell.com, and maybe we can do a nice little show together. It was painless, right?
Oh, man, no, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, we really support what you're doing. And, I mean, it's been good vibes all the way around. I mean, people that just want to get a forum for music. Like, there's so many different channels of music that have been destroyed, you know what I mean, in terms of distribution and all that stuff. So if you have somebody that's, like, you know, doing, like, the John Hammond thing or the Wolfman Jack thing or just getting the word out, it's just, it's perfect, especially for, you know, guys like us, you know.
Yeah. And that's why I said was one of the catalysts for me starting another show, because there are cool bands out there that, you know, they strive to be on radio, and I say, why? Like, radio is very, you know, segregated. It's like, hey, you're either A, B, or C. You know, I'm like, there's really no outlets for bands, and that's why I wanted to start Enter the Shell, for bands just like you guys.
Well, if you're going to make your own path, I mean, you can do it. I mean, you know, we're proving that's possible. We've both had, you know, various bad experiences with the record business, you know. Yeah. But you have to have a few, like, different way stations along the way where you can, like, go, okay, cool, you know, Enter the Shell, this is awesome, you know what I mean? You can take a load off and feel like yourself, you know, to get there and keep getting the word out. I mean, the good thing is it's completely democratized, so if it's good and you fucking believe in it enough, then, you know, it'll get out there. But if, you know, that's the key, is, you know, this chain that we're all building to get it there. So
exactly. And here's the key, guys. You have to believe in yourself, because, you know, I'm not going to go find you if you're sitting down with all your demos not even uploaded anywhere. If you keep those demos for yourself, you know, and think by magic, I'm going to stumble upon some, you know, magic, you know, tree, and then out pops your demo, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, let me find you. It's not going to happen. You know, you need to put your guys' stuff out there, and you need to be put out there in order for people to find you. And thank you guys for doing that.
You got it. No, thank you.
Yeah, man, thanks for having
us. Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay, it's now time to find out the moral of today's show. And like I said before, I lugged the Demoralizer 3000 all the way out here. So I'm going to start it up, and I'm going to say a few magical words, and then we'll find out the moral of today's show. The Mint Circuit, Sharon Jones, Dap Kings, Creativity, Saturday, Ambulance Driver, Inc., Kansas, Detroit, and some tamales. How about that? That means it's done if you can rip open up that envelope and read us the moral of today's show.
And the moral for this week is, my heart is telling me Chinese, but my head is telling me beer.
There it is. Yeah, man. My guests have been Rhett Fraser Inc. Check them out on their website, and most importantly, support them. And I know you guys have links to your Bandcamp there, and I'm gonna put the embed code of your Bandcamp on the blog. That way they can stream the entire album and then buy it right there on entertheshell.com. So make sure to log on to Rhett Fraser Inc. And we are going to leave you now with Addy.
Sucker. I was stranded in the parking lot, broke my key off in the dome. She caught me at the laundromat by the corner store. And when she got drunk at that party and I had to take her home, she had popcorn in her teeth, drinking gin out of styrofoam. But I don't think about none of that, she's gone. It's been so long. If I don't remember, I wrote this song. But I did. The time she had me over, just to try that family dish on her. Room beats, water bed, we flop like jelly roofies. And when she cried when I told her that I love just couldn't grow, she left me with a frozen corner in my soul. But I don't think about him, that she's gone. It's been so long. Oh, I don't remember I wrote this song. But I did. Here is the part I'm supposed to wrap this song up. Throw some rhymes around like quarters at somebody growing up. So don't know what all this pain is supposed to mean. But if you ever hear this song within, don't tell me. I don't think about her, now that she's gone. Oh, I don't remember I wrote this song, but I did. I just don't remember ever writing this song down, and I just can't seem to recall what your name was, just what your name was. I think I found it on some park bench somewhere, down on 153rd. It was at Lenox night. Oh, maybe it was Euclid. Maybe it was Euclid. I just don't recall writing the song down. Maybe your name was Libby, or maybe Dolores, or maybe Marjorie. I just don't.
That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Enter the Shell Show. We are out of here. Later.
EnterTheShell.com. Thanks for distracting me.